This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Daily Digest on a Bigger Picture. I'm T. Xiao Ik with Lim Soo Ann and Juliet Jacobs in the studio today. Two stories as always for you. First up, a university lecturer in Malaysia says that eating fast food during pregnancy is one of the factors leading to autism. So we will be finding out if this is true.
Yes, and in our second story, Disney Plus recently announced that it would be releasing episodes on a weekly basis. So does this mean the end of binge watching? And will this change how we appreciate the show?
And on that note, we're asking you on Twitter, how would you prefer to watch a TV series? So your options are an episode a week or binge watch everything. So you can join the conversation, you can tweet us or take that poll at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or you can also call us at 03-7733-2900. And also we are on Facebook Live, so you can look that up on BFM The Bigger Picture.
But first, here's a Loving Spoonful with Did You Ever Have to Make Up Your Mind?
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Did You Ever Have to Make Up Your Mind by Loving Spoonful. This is the Daily Digest. Our first story for you today is about autism. So over the weekend, a Bernama News report quoted a lecturer as saying that the intake of unhealthy food by mothers during pregnancy is among the factors for the rising, the increase in babies being born with autism. And this lecturer was from the Special Education Department at a local university here in Malaysia.
Yes, and she's pointed specifically to fast food like sausages and burgers, what we just had for lunch, which she said are high in preservatives that can cause an accumulation of toxic content in the body. She said, when such foods are taken during early pregnancy, it would indirectly affect the fetus with autism.
So to help us understand if there could be any potential link between what happens in pregnancy and how autism develops, earlier today we spoke to Dr. Norazuddin Kamal Noor. She's a consultant, developmental pediatrician. So we asked her what is autism and what is happening in the brain of a person with autism.
So autism spectrum disorder is a brain-based neurodevelopmental condition that is seen in childhood. It's characterized by impairments in two main areas. Firstly, in social communication and social interaction. And secondly, in terms of behaviors, whereby these children have restricted repetitive behaviors or interests. It tends to have lifelong consequences. And in terms of what exactly happens in the brain, we think that there might be difficulties in the way that the cells in the brain communicate with each other, potentially, which results in the impairments that we see in autism spectrum disorder.
The lecturer also said, quote unquote, when such foods are taken during early pregnancy, it would indirectly affect the fetus with autism. Is it such a simple link? We asked Dr. Norazuddin how autism develops in a child.
We don't know exactly how it develops. We have some ideas, but we don't know exactly what the underlying problems are. What we do know is that it occurs quite early on in life. We start seeing signs usually in children below the age of 3 years. Definitely they should present by the age of 8 years, because sometimes in some children it can be harder to pick up. So whether it's picked up or not, I guess it depends on whether the child is actually brought for medical attention. But these specific problems can be picked up usually by the age of 3 years, sometimes even below the age of one, although that's not as common. What we do know of it from research is that there is some problem with organization of the more fine structures in the brain. We can't actually see that on imaging per se, but there are problems with organization between the nerve cells in the brain that results in children presenting with these problems. So we know that there is a neurodevelopmental basis for it, meaning it's a brain-based problem. Mm-hmm. But exactly how we get to that is not clear-cut. So as such, we don't have a biomarker or something that we can use consistently to diagnose autism by means of doing a blood test or an imaging test.
So let's address the main point that was made in the Bernama article, that a poor diet, especially from eating fast food, is a factor in the increasing prevalence of autism. So we asked Dr. Azlin if this was true.
Okay, so there has been an increased prevalence of autism in the past few decades. It's increased more than up to 50-fold in some studies. So it's increased a lot in the past, let's say 30 to 40 years. Mm-hmm. There are probably multiple reasons for this. I don't think it's just one reason. One of it is the way we actually pick up problems like autism. We are more aware of this problem now compared to previously. In addition, for clinicians, the way we diagnose it is by looking at children's development and behavior. So we're able to pick up children now who have milder or subtle, more subtle symptoms, who are on the more mild end of the spectrum. In addition, there might be other things which might contribute to it that we don't know 100% has led to it, but we suspect based on autism studies and risk factors associated with autism. Mm-hmm. These include there is an increased risk with increasing parental age and people are having children later. There is increased risk in children who are born premature, who are low birth weight, and who have problems early on in life. And there are more of those children who survive now because of advances in neonatology care. So potentially we're seeing more of those who have survived from that. And in addition, there might be also some environmental causes that we're starting to see some links with, although the studies in environmental risk factors is still very much in its infancy. So, for example, traffic pollution is one of the environmental risk factors that has been associated with autism. But again, the studies in it, there are not that many studies in it, so it's still quite a new thing. Mm-hmm. In terms of maternal diet, mm-hmm. the studies that have shown increased risk with autism are in mothers who have obesity and who have diabetes, either before pregnancy or during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So those are the studies that have shown some association with autism as opposed to a specific diet per se. The advice on diets would be the same for everyone, meaning we should all have a healthy diet. That's good for everyone to have a healthy lifestyle and to have a diet that has all the nutrients that you require to be healthy. Mm. So that would be true for everyone.
So when parents hear terms like risk and association, what are they to take away from these? What does it mean?
Okay, so when we look at autism risk factors, it's not as simple as one thing leading to autism. Autism is a what's called a complex condition, a complex disease. And what that means is that it what causes autism is multifactorial. Autism has both genetic risk factors and environmental risk factors. So some of it are those that you are born with and some of which that you are exposed to in the environment and some of which involve an interaction between the gene and the environment, what we call gene by environment interaction. So it's not one single thing usually that leads to autism, except for certain rare syndromes that are associated with autism. So what we can do is reduce risk factors, but I think it's important that people shouldn't go away feeling guilty that they were the reason that their child had autism. No, it's not anybody's fault. I don't think it's healthy for parents to feel guilty about it. You can't control everything in life, but these are the things that we know that increases the risk of autism. And I don't think parents should feel guilty that they are the cause of their child having autism.
So it was interesting that she made that, she sort of explained what are you to take away from the idea of an increased risk, because even for me, reading the Bernama article, it was very that knee-jerk reaction, yeah. it just triggered that idea, especially when you're a parent, that in everything that you do during pregnancy, and I'm sure you know, you're familiar with this feeling, Juliet, that you, even when you drink coffee, you're thinking about all those studies you've read, all those news reports you've read.
And even when you aren't, people remind you.
That's right. And so to have an article like this that where a so-called expert or somebody who's regarded in some sort of authoritative position depicts autism in such a simplistic narrative. You know, what do you think, you know, parents who are perhaps a little less well-informed would take away from it?
I assume, because when you sent the link to this article, the first thing I thought was, oh my God, what have I done? Because I did the same thing. I was happily eating sausages during
as did we, you know?
Crave weird things during a pregnancy. So the immediate feeling was fear. Of course, then common sense kicked in. I was like, how can it be that simplistic, you know? And so, of course, further reading, you know, that this can't be true. But again, like you said, people who maybe don't go and do further reading, they might think this is true. And sure, sausages aren't the best, you know, type of food to eat anyway, but it is, I think, needless fear-mongering, definitely. Mm.
And I think especially when you have someone who, like you said, Shao, is in an authoritative position, is in an institution that a lot of people know, then immediately the first thought you have that, okay, this person must know what they're talking about.
Exactly, must have done due diligence to come up with such a report.
And I feel like quotes like this could easily be taken out of context, further taken out of context and spun into fake news and spread more misinformation, especially with autism, a condition that's already linked to the fact that misconception that vaccines cause autism, for instance. Mm-hmm. So it's all where people try to boil it down to this simple idea, this simple narrative.
Yeah.
So in the Banama article, the lecturer was also quoted about something in children with autism. She said that the diet of children could also influence their behavior and cause them to become more aggressive or otherwise. So she referred specifically to the gluten-free, casein-free study from 2014, which she said found that wheat and dairy-based foods lead to gastrointestinal problems in children with autism. And she says that then provokes more tantrums and meltdowns in the children. So I asked Dr. Noralasdin to comment on this.
Yeah. Again, that is not an easy thing. Research hasn't shown a clear association between, for example, a gluten-free, casein-free diet with autism or autistic symptoms. The research that has been done has been inconclusive. Some studies have shown some benefits, some haven't, which is why, in general, we don't advocate for parents to go on, all parents with children with autism, to go on to that. There isn't enough evidence for it. It might be that the child actually shows improvement when parents pay more attention to what they eat and just ensure that they have a good, balanced diet. So that itself might be a confounder for that association, meaning that might be the real reason for why we see a difference. In terms of research that has been done on GFCF diet, it hasn't been on large numbers of children, but the different studies that have been done when they have been pulled together shows that the evidence for putting a child with autism on a GFCF diet is not strong. So it's not conclusive. If parents really feel very strongly about it, I think they should work with their physician, potentially even a nutritionist, because sometimes putting children on this very restrictive diet can affect their level of nutrition. So it shouldn't be like a blanket thing where we advise it for all children. But we would definitely advise a good, healthy diet like we would for any child.
So that was Dr. Noralasdin Kamal Noor, consultant developmental pediatrician, weighing in on this article that Bernama published over the weekend. Well, it's very possible that the lecturer was misquoted by the media, but I did notice that because it was a Bernama article, it was widely picked up by a lot of local newspapers and very easily shared on social media. It was a short piece, but, you know, hit all those clickbait kind of points. So I think it's good to be very skeptical and just take these things with a huge spoonful of salt. I mean, as Dr. Nurazdin said, autism is so complex. Exactly. If it were that easy, we wouldn't be searching so hard for the answers,
yeah.
would we?
Yeah, precisely.
Yes. So if you have any thoughts you want to share with us, you can tweet them to us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp them in at 018-789-8899, or you can also call us at 03-7733-2900. And you can also find us on Facebook Live right now at the BFM The Bigger Picture.
Our second story is coming right up after a few messages, but first here's Bob Dylan with Don't Think Twice, It's All Right, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.